Good morning. We have a very fun morning, a very jam-packed morning. I have to say I'm very grateful to be here. I was stuck in Minneapolis last night. I know. And sweet Jessica was going to do the whole thing, but my husband made a reservation from Montana, and my daughter said, you know, Minneapolis isn't really on the way to Orange County. I go, I don't know how it worked out, but I missed a flight and then took a later flight. So I'm so thankful to be home anyway. Okay, last week, Gina did such a great job of starting us to think about gratitude as she was focusing on Psalm 100. I wanted to continue what she started. And for us, especially this month of Thanksgiving, but we should be grateful every day. But with Thanksgiving coming up, I just wanted us to focus on gratitude in all situations. 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I think it's very easy to be grateful when things are going our way, when our prayers are answered and what we want happens. But true gratitude is tested in the hard seasons. And we all know we've all had hard seasons, and some of us are in hard seasons right now. The moments of uncertainty, loss, or waiting. And God makes himself known in these times. My concern is we miss it. God makes himself so real through so many different ways, but I think we are not open to it. My question this morning is, how have you felt God's presence in your hard seasons? How has your good shepherd encouraged you when things were not going your way? In those seasons of waiting, in those seasons of loss, in those seasons of sadness. And again, I think we just need to open our eyes. I'm so afraid we miss it. My daughter, a lot of you know, has struggled with infertility. And she's had several failed procedures. Several IVFs and all the others with all the initials, I can't even remember what they all stand for. And years ago, after she went through a very hard divorce, she said, Mom, am I ever going to get married and have kids? I could not promise her that. I said, honey, all I can promise you is God will be with you. And I said, I wish I could promise that you'll get married and have kids. Well, she got married to a darling guy, and she has a 3-year-old little girl, and now she's been trying to have another one. And of course, because she's older, and with IVF, you never know, and she had one more chance, and the doctor said, the chances are not good. Do not expect this to work. Well, there was one more egg. Anyway, Amy Brown said to me when I was talking about this a year ago, struggling, where she goes, you need to talk to Vicki Dimitrik. And I said, why do I need to talk to Vicki Dimitrik? And she said, Vicki Dimitrik is going through the same thing. Vicki Dimitrik and I became instant friends. It was the sweetest thing because we had this shared struggle. And I'll tell you, we didn't waste any time on small talk. It was like, I'm worried. Are you worried? How do we pray for him? How do we encourage him? What if it doesn't work? What procedure is your daughter going through? And a year ago, this makes me cry, we committed to praying for our girls every day. And we have. We prayed for each other's girls every day. Well, 3 months ago, Abilene was born. This is Vicky's granddaughter. Okay, is she not beautiful? That child was so prayed for. And in 3 weeks, Molly will be born. I said, Abilene's a lot cuter than Molly. But Molly's got potential. And Molly will be here in 3 weeks. We hope she fills out a little bit. Anyway, so my question for you guys, during your hard times, is it a friend? I know so much happens in here with relationships, with studying God's word, the small groups, and so I would like you to turn to page 137 in your study guide. It's just a blank page. And I just want you to take 5 minutes. We're just going to take 5 minutes to write down where God has met you and in what way during a difficult season of your life. It's not 137? It's the first of the note. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic. 317. And just take 5 minutes. This isn't for anybody else to see. This is just for you. And you know what? It would be a wonderful exercise to add to this every week. And then when times get tough again, to go back to this. So this is just for you to take some time. Of course, this is something we should be doing every day. Does anybody want to just blurt out a word or something that you wrote?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's a hard one to follow, but go ahead.
No fear.
No fear. Oh.
Friendship.
Friendship. Is that what you say, Carrie?
I thought that was fine.
Oh, okay. Okay, oh, thank you.
God's providence.
God's providence. What was it?
Contentment.
Say it one more time, Diane.
Contentment.
Contentment, that's huge.
Sanctification.
Hope. strengthening. Thank you. You guys, these are great. And I would encourage you to keep doing this. Let me pray before I introduce our spotlight. Lord, we are so grateful for the blessings. And as you said in the beginning of Ephesians, with all spiritual blessings, Father, I just pray for each one of us that we will look to you when we're suffering, when we're tired, when we're weary, when we're waiting. So often our eyes are on what we want and not on what we need, which is you. Father, open our hearts and eyes to see all the ways that you come alongside of us and encourage us, and that there are so many gifts in the hard seasons. Father, we just thank you that you are so present, you are so available, you are so loving, and you care about what we care about. So Father, again, just make us very aware, not just this season, but every day, of the spiritual blessings that are at our fingertips because of your grace. Lord, we love you. Okay, I want to introduce our spotlight this morning. It is Becky Paff. Paff. And I already asked her how to say it. And she works at Grace here in Children's Ministry. And she is married to Daniel, and she has a little girl, Joy. And what we're going to have in the spring, which I'm so excited about, she leads worship, and she's going to come and lead worship for us in the spring, which will be so fun. Like maybe just during the 9 o'clock time, if people want to come in here for a time of worship. So I'm so excited that she's offered to do that. Okay, Becky.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Your 1 Thessalonians verse actually is like on theme with what I'm talking about. So that's God orchestrated. Also, it's weird being on this direction, seeing you guys. Usually it's the other way. So, all right. So sounds kind of dramatic. I've been calling this my family's Job season. The last 2 years, God has allowed us to experience deep loss and fear. Yet we found more of his grace, power, and goodness than ever before. Today, I'll be sharing just one testimony of the many God is currently writing. And this specific story, you all had a big part to play in. So my hope is this story is an encouragement to you all about the power of communal prayer, how our God delights in us, and how he wants good things for his children. So to begin, Daniel, my husband, and I had a pretty typical traditional Christian dating relationship where you get married within a year of meeting each other. So with that, we got married within about 9 to 10 months of meeting each other. So like when you know, you know. my husband and I got pregnant right after our wedding. Well, literally the night of our reception. So the saying is true. It really does only take one time sometimes. And I wish I could say I was overjoyed, but honestly, I was pretty angry. We joke with those in our life that God had us on the fast track, but deep down I felt robbed of that first year of marriage experience. Everyone talks about the travel, the freedom, the quiet. Instead, I was nauseous and throwing up 2 to 4 times a day for 4 months straight and also getting as big as a whale, trying to accept a season I didn't want. Fast forward to December 2nd, 2023, our daughter Joy Joanne, which we nicknamed her JoJo, was born healthy with little to no complications. I was so grateful to have had an experience with a healthy pregnancy and labor. And I was still full of anger and guilt. I was still struggling accepting that we were parents now. And I felt like my freedom and identity had been stripped from me before I was ready to let them go. Fast forward again to July 28th, 2024. My husband and I were working full-time jobs, and our then 7-month-old JoJo was attending full-time daycare. This specific week, daycare was closed, so this is a praise the Lord moment, and you'll see why in a second. So JoJo had to be home with us full time. So during this specific week, she started having these weird staring episodes where she was inattentive, and she would drool profusely, which for a baby, maybe those symptoms don't seem that weird, because maybe she's pooping or something, the next couple of days, these episodes were becoming more intense and more frequent. And of course, they were all mostly happening around me when I was home alone with Joy. So I told Daniel that I was getting concerned, but as any caring husband does, who sees their anxious wife kind of start to freak out, he tried to calm me down and tell me that Joy was fine and everything's okay. 2 days later, JoJo had the longest and most intense episode I'd ever seen. She became super weak physically. Her left side of her face was drooping. Her breathing was labored, and she looked like she was kind of turning blue. I called Daniel, and I told him, "I'm calling 911. I think Joy's having a stroke." Of course, right as the first responders arrived, Joy had come to and looked completely normal. All her vitals read normal, and you can maybe imagine I felt crazy. The paramedics still recommended us to go to the ER just in case. So at the ER, after showing the doctor the videos we took, plus them only doing a basic blood work panel, they responded with, "We don't see what you're seeing, Mom. Her blood work looks normal. If something's going on, these episodes could be absent seizures, which she'll grow out of by the time she's 2 or 4 years old. But if you're really that concerned, here's a referral to our neurologist." I felt so embarrassed and crazy. I'm not usually one that gets super anxious about this kind of stuff, but something deep down didn't feel right. I told my husband and myself that I'm giving it 24 hours, and if things continue to get worse and she keeps having episodes, I'm calling the pediatrician. And so this is when the shaming voices started to get really loud, saying, "If you only would have received your pregnancy and JoJo with an actual joyful heart, maybe God wouldn't be putting your daughter through this." Sure enough, praise the Lord, the next morning, which was actually less than 24 hours, Daniel finally saw the episodes. He was holding her, and they had gotten so bad at this point that her whole body would tremor. He was like, "That was weird." And I was like, "See? It's not just me." So she had 5 of these episodes that morning that lasted for about 2 minutes each within a 20 to 30 minute period. So not good. So I called the pediatrician, and she rushed us to CHOC without even seeing JoJo in person and told us to demand a neurologist. So that was another praise the Lord moment for her wisdom. The ER at CHOC took us super seriously, and after lots of scans, they found a golf ball-sized mass in the right part of her brain. So they admitted us for the night. We were then meeting with so many different doctors. Emergency surgery was being scheduled. A rare form of cancer was being discussed amongst the doctors and us. And the reality of Joy dying either in surgery or within her first year of life from the rare cancer was being presented. All this was being thrown at us, and you know the emotion I remember feeling the most was relief. Not because my daughter was sick, it was because I wasn't crazy. And there was something wrong, and my mom gut was right. But with that, the voice of shame got even louder. "God's taking your daughter away from you because you've never loved Joy the way God wanted you to. This is all your fault." The team of doctors on our case that weekend was unreal. Another praise the Lord. We had the directors and heads of neurology, neurosurgery, and neuro-oncology on our team. The nurses were telling us the odds that all three of these specialists being on call this weekend rarely ever happens. In the midst of God doing miracles and moving mountains for our Joy, I'm still thinking this was all my fault. The date of her surgery was Sunday, August 4th, and they mentally prepared us for a 4 to 6 hour surgery with lots of blood loss. Therefore, the risk of her dying on the table was extremely high. Meanwhile, and this is where you all enter this story, Pastor Mark shared our emergency prayer request with the entire church community at Sunday service, literally while JoJo was in surgery. And as our church was praying, as we were praying, as we found out later, the world was actually praying for her. God worked miracle after miracle. Sorry. What was supposed to be a 6 hour high risk surgery lasted only 2 hours. Minimal blood loss, and the mass, not cancer. So the doctors couldn't explain it, but we could. God heard and God moved. Joy's health journey goes on after this. She had 2 more serious brain surgeries. Around her first birthday, they ended up removing her entire right temporal lobe. Although the goal was to be seizure-free, the seizures have decreased significantly. Thank you. Sorry, Eva even gave me tissues. The seizures have significantly decreased from about 20 to 30 episodes a week to now 1 a month, which we're super thankful for. And the other unfortunate part is the doctors still don't quite have a diagnosis for her yet. But with that, Joy is to this day a healthy kid We get to do life with her still. And she's got the coolest scar and the coolest testimony of God's glory. The story with my daughter has taught me that his goodness is proven by his presence. Even when I was drowning in shame, he wasn't withholding love. He was inviting me in to receive it. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. I don't have time to read it right now, but if you guys want to go and look at it later. This has been a really helpful reminder of God's character in this season that I really tend to struggle to believe. I'm reminded that when I come to God and ask, seek, and knock, I'm not approaching a distant ruler who wants to manipulate me to get what he wants or will only meet me in my needs when I'm a perfect disciple. I get to come to a father who delights in giving good gifts to his children. And as Ephesians says, we're chosen, adopted, and redeemed, not because we've performed well, but because we belong to him through Christ. So if you're walking through a Job season where it feels like your faith is being tested around every corner, I hope this story reminds you to hold on to this truth. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because your Father is really good and he will meet you there. Thank you, guys.
Oh, Lord, thank you so much for Peggy. Father, thank you for her story. Thank you that she is so set on giving you glory through this hard situation. And Father, every mother can relate to this lies of the enemy, of her shame when she was so on top of everything. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to just speak over those lies and for her to know what a precious, sweet mom she is and how lucky little Joy is. Father, we pray for continued health for this sweet child. Thank you for all the doctors coming together. Father, we just see your hand in so many different miracles. Father, thank you for this new life that you've given this family. And Father, I just pray for continued joy for Joy and continued joy for Becky and Daniel. And just, Father, for them just to know that there is no guilt in this. There is nothing but, oh my gosh, just praise for the wonderful, sweet mom she is to this precious girl. And Father, I pray she continues to feel your love in all of this. And thank you for her vulnerability to share this. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Kind of hard to continue after that. Oh my gosh. Well, I am so excited about our speaker today. It's a new speaker. It's somebody that Christina knew from Abide at Night, and her name is Brooke Mondaggi. Good, I've been practicing that too. Okay. And you guys, I am so excited for you to hear her story. I think it's going to be one of those stories. It has the potential to change all of us. She was a student in the theology department at Vanguard, and now she works in the department at Vanguard. And God has called her to a new adventure that she's going to tell us. So help me welcome Brooke. And before she starts, I'm just going to read just one bit of her scripture. Oh, stay right there. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, so this is Ephesians 3, 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you, Becky, for bringing us into the realities of life. Thank you for your vulnerability. And just giving us the space in this room to consider those realities of life. And just thank you so much for sharing. But it is a privilege and an honor to be among you this morning. I love being among women because it just feels so fun and exciting. But my name is Brooke Mondaggi, and I'm in one of the Abide groups that meets in the evening. Go Tuesday night, woo woo! And I'm led by fearless leaders Sandra Grant and Nancy May. And I know some of you, but others of you I don't know. So a little bit about me, as Anne was sharing, is I've been a part of the Grace community for about 5 years. I was born and raised in San Diego, and I'm the proud youngest sibling of three sisters. I have two loving parents, and they all still live in San Diego. I moved to Orange County 10 years ago to attend Vanguard University, and that's where I studied mathematics for my undergraduate degree, and then I continued on to study theology for a graduate degree. And during my years in school, I worked at a nonprofit, I worked at a ministry, I spent time as a nanny for four crazy, beautiful, loving children. And now I work at Vanguard, the school I graduated from, in administration for the School of Theology and Ministry. And lastly, I am preparing to move to Indonesia to serve in missions, and I hope to be out there by summer of 2026. And right now I'm currently fundraising for that next adventure. And that catches us up to speed. Everyone good? So, ladies of grace, I have a question for you this morning. Can you think of a time in your life where you had good news to share? A time where you have learned something new, something exciting, something that is so good and so juicy that you can't wait to tell someone. There's lots of moms in the room. Think about the moment you discovered you were pregnant. The test came back positive, and you're waiting to share this news with your husband, your friends, your family. There's professionals in the room. I'm sure there are lawyers, medical professionals. Think about the moments in those careers where perhaps, as a lawyer, you discovered evidence that would enhance your argument in court, and you were wanting to share that news. Or as a medical professional, you've discovered what is causing the pain in that patient, and you are eager to share that news. And there's even more simple mysteries than that, like this new thing they have going at Trader Joe's. I don't know if you've been in the store recently, but at Trader Joe's, they have literally a mystery bag, and I saw this, I'm like, okay, this is going in the preaching. But this bag in Trader Joe's has three reusable grocery bags from different states or different countries. And this right here is a symbol of a mystery waiting to be revealed. I'm telling you, my fearless leader. And when we know there is a mystery, we all sort of lean in to hear or to see what those bags are. What could it be? What is being revealed? And this is where Paul is in Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. A mystery has been revealed to Paul, and he is thrilled to share that mystery with the church in Ephesus. He is eager to make the mystery known, the mystery that we are one in Christ Jesus. So we've been going through Paul's letters to the letter to the Ephesians since the start of Abide this fall. And if you can remember, in chapter 1 of his letter to the Ephesians, Paul details the riches and blessings found in Christ. We are chosen, we are saved, we are redeemed, reconciled, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. The riches of Christ, adoption, salvation, reconciliation, are lavished upon us. In chapter 2, Paul reinforces that it is by grace we have been saved, that those who were once far off have been brought near only by the blood of Jesus. Last week, Stephanie talked about reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God and to each other. And as such, we get a sense at the end of chapter 2, the role we take as those near and in Christ. Paul says we're fellow citizens, we are members of the same house, we are growing together into a holy temple, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So chapter 1 are the riches in Christ, chapter 2 is the reconciliation and the roles of believers. Then in chapter 3, Paul makes known this mystery that was revealed to him by revelation. Through Paul, we discover that God's plan has a mystery in it. And for our time together, we will navigate through the first half of Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13. To help us understand the words of Paul written to the Ephesians, we will outline this passage into two sections. First, the mystery. What is the mystery in God's plan that was revealed? And second, the messenger. Who received the mystery? We will take a look at both Peter and Paul as messengers of God's mystery, and consider what we can learn from them, since we now, in this room, are the messengers of God. So first, the mystery. What is the mystery Paul is so eager to share? Let's look at verses 2 through 6 to discover the mystery, the unveiled plan of God. You will hear Paul mention, as I read this, the mystery three times in this first section. Starting in verse 2, Paul writes, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly in reading this letter, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." Amen, amen. So how does Paul define the mystery? It's defined that third time when he says that through the gospel, the Gentiles, that is non-Jews, so when we talk about Gentiles, it's just the non-Jews, are heirs together with Israel. Gentiles are members together of one body, and Gentiles are sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So our first discovery about the mystery and God's plan is that God's promise was always meant to go beyond Israel. Paul has revealed a mystery of God's plan, that his plan has always been bigger than Israel. The Old Testament foreshadows and prophesies this reality, but now it has been fully revealed, fully unleashed to God's holy apostles, Paul being one of them. And we think back to the promise given to Abraham in Genesis 12 that foreshadows the promises of God going beyond Israel. God says to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Even before Israel came to be, Abraham was called by God with promises that go beyond him. The blessings for Abraham, the start of the Abrahamic covenant, weren't just for himself in that generation, but for those to come after him. Listen to God's declaration in that call. "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Even then, God was foreshadowing the mystery in his plan that all people would be blessed. The scripture continues on in this trajectory in the book of Isaiah. In a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Isaiah 49:6 indicates that the Lord says, and this is about Jesus, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Just wow. I mean, that's even clearer. How do you miss that? I don't know. But the coming Messiah would be a light for the Gentiles, that salvation would reach the ends of the earth. The nation of Israel had failed and failed time and time again to bring about the blessings to other nations. And so God, seeing their failure, would then come in the form of a man, Jesus, to bring about his salvation. You see, God's promise of salvation and his blessing were always meant to go beyond Israel. Israel was meant to be a vessel of God's blessing. And so you can see from the beginning that God's plan was also meant to include Jews and Gentiles. Listen again to Paul's message in Ephesians 3. "Through the gospel, Jews and Gentiles are heirs together, members together of one body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus." So we turn to our second discovery of the mystery. God's plan was to create a new humanity. Paul is passionate for a lot of reasons, and this unlocked mystery is one of them. Listen to this. The mystery that has been made known is that God is not just including Gentiles with the Jews and the law, but through Christ is making one new body. Recall Paul's words earlier in Ephesians 2, where he says God's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two. The Gentiles, the non-Jews then, aren't an afterthought in the salvation plan of God. The dividing wall and the exclusion from the promises are totally and completely eradicated through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we Jews, well, no, I'm not a Jew, sorry. Jews and non-Jews are one in Christ. Listen to Paul and his other letters to the churches. To the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. To the Romans, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, looking back to the passage today, you can see the point Paul is trying to make, that we are one body, one new humanity in Christ Jesus, where there is neither Jew nor Gentile. And this is transforming news, and this is why Paul was so passionate, because Jews and Gentiles are together as heirs. It's a mystery that was hidden for ages and now fully unveiled, and this mystery made known has transformed lives in this room today. We have all received the riches in Christ, those riches that are discussed in chapter 1. We have all received those, the blessing, salvation, and redemption through Christ, who is redeeming all of humanity. And it's no wonder Paul spoke with such conviction and passion. It's a mystery that he found worth telling. And for most of the disciples in the early church, it was a mystery worth dying for and facing persecution for. And I wonder if sometimes we lose that passion, right? We see the passion of the messengers back then, of Paul writing these letters and dying for this cause. And I wonder if sometimes in our generation, we lose the passion for that and that sense of urgency, because the reality is that we are now in that time, the same as Paul, where we are waiting the return of Christ to come back and receive his bride. So this brings us to our second section for today. You know the mystery, but now I'd like to discuss the messenger, or rather, the messengers of this mystery. Paul tells the church in Ephesus that he received the mystery by revelation, that it had been revealed to him, the holy apostles and the prophets. And when I read this, I thought, that's interesting. Paul received it by revelation. Where did that happen? And so we will actually today take a look at when that mystery was revealed to Paul, and actually when it was first revealed to Peter, and how that revelation or this mystery changed them into messengers. I believe today we can learn something from the lives of the messengers as we navigate the stories of Peter and Paul. I don't want you to disconnect from the stories thinking, oh, that was for them and their time. But I want you to find yourself in their shoes, because the reality is this, that we, ladies in this room, ladies of Abide, are the current day messengers of God. He has given us a message to share with others, and we have a call upon our lives to take that message and go out into the world. So the mystery Paul talks about in Ephesians was first revealed and demonstrated in the early life of the church in Acts 10, when Peter baptizes the first Gentiles. For sake of time, I will summarize the story, but this story is connected with Ephesians 3 because Peter had first received the mystery that Paul talks about in Ephesians 3. So in Acts 10, a man by the name of Cornelius is introduced. He was a centurion, a commander in the army, a Gentile, and surprisingly, he's also described as a devout man who feared God with all his house and as one who prayed continually to God. God was clearly already at work in Cornelius's life before he even had a contact with a Jew. Now, one day, Cornelius received a vision instructing him to bring a man named Peter to his house. And simultaneously, Peter was in a town nearby called Joppa. And we know Peter, right? He was a devout Jew, the one who was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven by Jesus, the rock on which Jesus said he would build his church. So as Cornelius's men approach Peter's house to bring him back to Cornelius, Peter has a vision about clean and unclean animals. And this vision is repeated to him three times, and it is God starting to reveal this mystery of clean and unclean. And Peter wasn't quite sure what that vision meant. But Peter, feeling led by the Spirit, goes with the men to the house of Cornelius. And he's standing in the room among Gentiles, and they're in that room. And I was reading the story, I'm like, this is one of those moments where everyone in the room looks to you and says, what has they say to Peter, "What has God told you to tell us?" And if I were Peter in that moment, I'd be freaking out. But this is what Peter says. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." And as Peter shared the good news in that room among Gentiles, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. And the Jews who had accompanied Peter actually were astonished. And they saw the Holy Spirit being poured out on the Gentiles. And so in that moment, those believers were baptized. And if that wasn't juicy enough, following that event, word gets around that Peter had been with Gentiles and had been eating with them. And so he has to go to Jerusalem to visit the other circumcised believers, so Jews. And he has to give an account or a defense of his actions to the Jews in Jerusalem. So we talked about earlier, right, this conflict between Gentiles and Jews. And Peter has received this mystery and is now working on acting upon it. So he goes to Jerusalem and he explains the vision and how the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And after recounting his vision and this Holy Spirit in that room with the Gentiles, he says to the Jews, "So if God gave them, the Gentiles, the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" And they respond, or the scripture says, "And when they," the Jews, "heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, 'So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life.'" Wow, this was unheard of. And this was the mystery unlocked, the plan of God revealed for Gentiles and Jews to receive salvation in Christ, who is Lord over all. Peter was a messenger of the mystery. And what do we learn from one messenger to another? One, Peter was led by the Holy Spirit. Peter received and experienced a revelation from God that was new, and that certainly caused friction in his own theological framework and among his Jewish peers. And though he did not fully understand the vision, the clean and unclean animals, he knew he needed to go to the house of Cornelius. And when he got there, he saw the Holy Spirit coming upon the Gentiles. And Peter, in that moment, received clarity of the mystery that he can no longer call what God calls clean, unclean. So the Gentiles are now clean in God's eyes. God was including Gentiles into God's people. So as messengers of God, we ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. We ought to have the ability to discern when we feel the Holy Spirit leading us to speak to people, leading us to fellowship with others, leading us to go to people who need to hear about Jesus. Second, Peter feared God more than man. As a messenger of the mystery, Peter learned to fear God more than his peers. And this was always one of Peter's greatest struggles, fearing the opinion of others. Think of Peter denying Christ 3 times. The fear was too great during Jesus' persecution and death that Peter denied knowing him. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. And yet we see the same man here in Acts being led by the Holy Spirit, and he overcomes his fear of man. He testifies boldly to the mystery God revealed to him in the presence of the Gentiles and the presence of Jews. And his words to the Jews who criticized him were sharp, firm, and so confident when he said to them, "Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" So despite the criticism and the opinion of others, Peter overcame the fear of man, and his reverence for God is demonstrated. So as messengers of God, we ought to decrease in our fear of man and increase in our fear of God. Who are the people we care just a little too much about earning respect and honor from? Who are we afraid to disappoint or perhaps to cause friction with when we speak about Christ and choose to live a life that is led by the Holy Spirit? As messengers, We must fear God more than man, because at the end of the day, it's God who we will stand face to face with to give an account of how we brought glory to his name. So why are we talking about Peter? I thought we were in Ephesians, right? Peter, like I said, was the first to receive the mystery and act upon it. That is the mystery that we're talking about in Ephesians 3. The mystery that Paul is saying in his letter to the Ephesians. So after this breakthrough of the mystery with Peter, a little over 10 years later, Paul begins his ministry to the Gentiles. And this is where he makes the mystery known among the Gentiles. And Paul's story is wild. And this will start to bring us back to Ephesians 3. He was a Jew and a Roman citizen. And after Christ's crucifixion, what do we know? That he was known for his great and fierce persecution of those who followed Christ. He looked for Jews and synagogues following Jesus and bound them as prisoners. And one day, Paul's life was radically transformed when he encountered Christ on his way to Damascus. Which, by the way, he was actually on his way to go find and imprison more people for following Jesus. But on that route, he encounters the risen Lord and places his faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus declares this over Paul's life. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. The mystery of God's plan had begun to be revealed to Paul. So in Ephesians 3, we are at a time in Paul's ministry where he has already been proclaiming Christ among the Gentiles. He is a messenger revealing the mystery that was made known to him. So picking up back up in Ephesians 3, let's discover what we can learn from the messenger Paul. Paul declares, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me. As a messenger of God's mystery, Paul knew the source of grace and power. Paul was acutely aware of his own faults and sins, and he calls himself less than the least. That's low of the lows. Throughout his letters, he commonly made known his weakness. To the Corinthians, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church." To Timothy, a young minister under Paul's mentorship, he says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Paul considered himself a servant of the gospel and was dependent on the grace and power of God throughout his life. So as messengers of God, we ought to be careful of thinking of ourselves too highly. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God has chosen us. Yes, God has saved us. But one thing we can learn from Paul is that we must always remember that we are sinners in need of redemption, and God is the source of that redemption, grace, and power. So anything we accomplish is not by our own strength, but only by the strength of God's power in us. Paul continues by saying, "This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things." So second, as a messenger, Paul knew his mission and followed through. Paul understood that he was given a grace to preach to the Gentiles. He says it right there. God had revealed a mystery that had been hidden for ages, and he revealed it to that generation, the early church. And Paul knew God had chosen him as an instrument in making this mystery known, even to the point of Paul's own suffering. Paul's call to Gentiles was a call that Jesus made known to him and that was encouraged and supported by the believers around him as he started to launch into ministry. As messengers of God, we must ask ourselves, what mystery, what call has God given us to make known? What has the Lord commanded you to do? Are we responding to the grace given to us, allowing his power to be at work within us? Or are we shying away from the work God has laid on our heart to do? And this is where I'll start to bring it to a close. the final verses and the first half of Ephesians 3 should be a call to action, a challenge to the messengers sitting in this room today. Listen to Paul's exhortation. His, God's intent, was that now, through the church, that's you and me, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, I ask you, what has God made known to you that needs to be shared with those around you? For me, I feel God has given me the work to do by gripping my heart for those who are poor and needy, for those who seek water and don't know where to go. I feel God has given me insight through his promise in Isaiah 41 that says, when the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the Lord, will not forsake them. So what do I do knowing this revelation, the promises found in Isaiah 41, God's heart and compassion for the poor and needy? I embrace it. I embrace it for myself. I recognize first that I am that poor and needy person that needs his living water. And then I share it with others, which is why I feel compelled to go to Indonesia to serve in missions, to preach, to talk about this mystery revealed, that we in Christ have riches, that we through Christ have the living water. It's why I want to be among, as hard as it will be among survivors of human trafficking in a safe house, because these are poor and needy people that need to know what God has promised, that he will not forsake them nor abandon them. Do I know in full detail what lies ahead? Not really. Do I feel led by the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do I feel confident in my own ability? Absolutely not. But do I know Jesus is with me? Do I know the promises found in Isaiah 41? And do I know that the Holy Spirit is empowering me? Yes. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are an heir. You are a member of one body in Christ, a sharer of the promise in Christ Jesus. And God can speak to you, every one of you, no matter how young and no matter how old you are, he can speak to you just as he could speak to the holy apostles. So consider the mystery, the call God has placed on your life. Perhaps it's starting a prayer group at school, at work. Perhaps it's serving the needy in our local community or global community. Perhaps it's sharing the promises of Christ with the person at your child's school, or with your grandchildren who don't know Jesus. Perhaps it's promoting justice in an area that you are passionate about, because a good place to start in knowing what God has called you to do, what mystery he has put in you to reveal to the world, is to know what God himself is passionate about, what he desires for humanity. And so we'll end with Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians in verses 12 through 13. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. As messengers of God, we can and we must approach God with freedom and confidence to know the mystery he has for us, the call he has for us. And there's a reason we can approach God with boldness, and it's that we are all forgiven through Christ Jesus. And when you discover the mystery that God wants to share with you, begin to make it known with others, and the journey gets tough, as it has with messengers in the past, Peter, Paul, and others. Do not be discouraged, for your trial, your suffering, is for the glory of others, to build up the members of the body of Christ. So we thank God for the faithful messengers that came before us to make known the mystery that all, Jews and Gentiles, are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the redemption that is made possible through the shedding of your blood on the cross. We don't take for granted the riches that you have lavished upon us. And Lord, as we are receiving those riches, give us the ability to then pour those out to others. Let us not be hoarders of the riches that you have lavished upon us. Help us to point others to you. Help us to know the mystery that you are revealing to us today in this generation. Help us to be led by the Holy Spirit to go forth in boldness. Help us to decrease our fear of man and increase our fear of the Lord. Be with us, empower us, and shape us for your glory. We surrender ourselves, our lives to you, and we thank you for your grace upon us. Amen.
I am just like overwhelmed by what a powerful morning this has been. Becky and Brooke and just this group of women, God is for us, and that mystery is so beautiful, and so I'm just feeling really encouraged. Want to say thank you so much to Jenny Beasley's group for the, I just said Jenny Beasley, but I think it was Jenny of Jenny Beasley's group for snacks today and a beautiful breakfast. And then Pernilla Scott again for coffee. Next week, it's going to be Judy and Christy's group for snack reminders. And then coffee is going to be Vicky, Dimitrik, and Wendy Turney. So speaking of mysteries, I'm going to ask for a certain slide to be put up. So this is like a hint at one of the things we're about to announce. It's really exciting. This is a picture of Abide, I think from many, many, many years ago, but you all look exactly the same, so I can't tell. But exciting moment, drum roll please. Can I get like an ASMR moment? Thank you. The directories are here. So the directories, they are basically, all of you have participated, or many of you have participated in giving your photos. And so this is really, they're available in the back, and we have 100 today. And so if you would like one, please take one. They are also going to be sent out digitally by Jess via a text message. And I'm getting hand motions that they are available in that corner of the room, this corner of the room, and as you exit that way. So please locate your nearest exit. And it will never be a flight attendant. But have a wonderful day. Enjoy those. There will be more next week. So if they run out, and Jess Marietta yesterday sat and clipped the ends of each of them by hand. So another round of applause for the many things that she does. All right. Thank you all. Have a great day. Bye.